Welcome to CFO Talk. I'm Steve Rosevall. And before I forget, write this down, www.cfo.university, and come back and visit us after our guest speaker's done and you've had a chance to see this video. So today we're going to talk about a couple things. We're going to talk about business CFO, that term and what it means to our guest speaker. And we're also going to talk about the challenges facing the CFO. So right now, I'd like to introduce our speaker, Anand Soni. Anand lives in Dubai. He's a chartered accountant. He's a certified public accountant. He also has held four CFO roles over the past 10 years and currently is the CFO of AAB Tools Group. Welcome, Anand.
Welcome, and thank you so much, Steve, for inviting me for a CFO talk with you. I'm privileged. Thank you so much.
Well, we're excited to have you on the phone. And, you know, we talked, one of the first times we talked, actually, you brought up this concept, the business CFO. And it really intrigued me, and I really want to share kind of your views on the business CFO with our viewers and our member scholars. Can you tell us, what is a business CFO?
All right. Let me just say a few things about where I'm coming to give you a better perspective. I have been in the Middle East for the last 20 years, and I have worked for family-driven organizations, diversified businesses, manufacturing, contracting, construction, trading, real estate, distribution, health services. Give me a business, Steve, I will handle. And that's how I really define myself. I also have been a pretty renowned conference speaker in a lot of conferences when people invite me. I also conduct corporate trainings and try to help people in whichever way. One thing which drives me throughout and which I'm so proud about is I strongly believe that I compete with myself every minute, every day. And that's the way I think we all improve. And that's something which I think it is there within me. That's my driving force.
What a great way to approach things. Yeah.
All right, you're perfectly right. So let me just get back to you on the business CFO. Now, you see, when I started first time as a CFO, probably more than a decade back, honestly, I was a bookish CFO. But then I realized things have changed dramatically in the last 5 years. The businesses have become tough. And basically, there are two main expectations from the CFO. First, whatever happens to the business, whatever happens to the economy, you are still expected to ensure that as a CFO, you take the business from one phase to another. What does that mean? In case your business is in survival stage, you take it to the next stage, which is consolidation, to the next, if it is growth, and to the next, if it is acceleration. And that's one bullet point for the CFO. And the next is, because of this financial turbulence across the globe, as a CFO, you are expected to ensure that your group is taken care against risks, risk assessment, risk mitigation. Now, Steve, when you have these two as the main results for the CFO, then you got to be a business CFO. So what is the business CFO? In my view, a business CFO is someone who understands the nuances of business, regardless of the various business models, the few of them which I quoted earlier. Now, the challenge with the CFO is, and let's face it, technically a CFO understands everything. But when it comes to the nitty-gritty of a business, that is not the core area or the core niche expertise of the CFO. So you see, the challenge now is a business CFO is expected to meet those two broad preamble, and to meet those points, he's supposed to get into the business, which is not his core expertise. And that is where I find most of the CFOs struggling. So that is the concept of business CFO. And let me share with you one simple example just to drive how exactly it works. You see, in one of the businesses which I was handling, we had retail, trading, distribution. Now the challenge was, when I joined, should we focus on distribution? Should we focus on retail by opening showrooms? Or should we go for joint venture? Now you see, typically, if you are a business CFO, you probably will advise to your board that if it is B2B, business to business customers, then your showrooms probably will help. Businesses like interior fit out, furnitures, that's where you need retail showrooms. Change the gears. If you have businesses which is into health sectors, medicines, food items, where you have B2B and B2C, you probably need a distribution center to get your goods across to your niche audience. Now tell me, Steve, unless you understand the business nuances, how would you in the position to do it? And that is the biggest challenge. When I go in conferences and when I'm being asked this question, I find this is still the area where a lot of CFOs are big time struggling. And those of CFOs who can understand it, they have made their way.
Well, it's interesting that, you know, we learn the finance piece, we learn the accounting piece, we know all those technical pieces, but how do we get that deep business knowledge that you're saying for these nuances that you're referring to? How do CFOs immerse themselves in that? So you have a sales guy who's worked somewhere for 20 years, he's deep into the sales, he knows that really well. They bring in a new CFO who doesn't really know the industry. How do they get to know enough of the business to really be successful?
I think there are actually 5 points, 5 areas where the CFOs who are CFOs and the new people who want to become the CFOs have to address. First, get to know the process. Get to know the process of what you're doing, you know. Even if it doesn't fall into your area, for example, a very simple thing, how does a shipment works through? Now, that may not typically come under your domain, but if you know how the shipment takes place from start to end, and you master that process, it helps you. You get more into the business. That's one. Two, do you have the willingness to go and into the details? For example, in one of my companies, we had the manufacturing base. The business was new to me. But I took pains to go to the shop floor and understand how the manufacturing process works. Now, the hardcore technical aspects of the product building, I left out. But I did make efforts to understand how the process goes to have the end product. So again, over a span of time, if you have the willingness to go, understand the process. Same way, if you're handling a construction business, go to the site, see what's happening to the projects, understand, talk to the people. That's second. Third is, there's always an element of cost and time and the investment. Now, what we should not be doing is, in our endeavor to understand about the businesses, we should not focus our core two objectives, which I started with. We need to ensure the businesses go from the first phase to the second phase to the third phase. And we need to ensure that we are mitigating the risks, risk assessment. So that's where the fine line is. You understand what is required. You deal with the various people, whether they are into sales, whether they are into projects, whether they are into production, or external stakeholders, and try to learn as much as possible from them. So this will give you a good understanding of knowledge and for you to take a decision. For example, in one of the businesses we were discussing the pricing aspects. The revenue is under severe stress. Probably if there was a bookish CFO, he would have given you the numbers by a presentation and would have said, look, what can I do? This is what my segment A is giving. This is what my segment B is giving. But hold on. That is not what we expect from a business CFO. Now, when the same thing was put to me, I asked my CEO, look, why don't you get into a new area and I'll give you different pricing. I will give you something known as a minimum variable pricing model so that you can probably take a hit at the margins and get an entry into a new area. So hold on, you get two benefits. One, your revenue increases. Two, you still keep your head above the water. And the most important, you are getting into a new territory. Now, probably I could give that solution as a business CFO because I knew how and what of the businesses. Now, this is the way I understand you can pick it up, but it needs persuasion, it needs patience, and it needs persistence to get to that.
That's what a great definition. I mean, I really like the way you went down that list. And when it comes to bringing tools, so you know, the confidence, number one, the confidence to suggest a new product and say, and to show how that could look, you know, you've had to build up a good reputation, good relationships with those executives you're working with. So, you know, when they want to listen to you. So if you say that and you don't have that respect, you're kind of talking into a well, right? If you can say that and people say, yeah, Anand, let's try that. How do you build up the relationships where people have enough respect for you to really listen to the finance guy when they're bringing those business decisions to the table?
Well, that's a very, very tricky but very interesting and a challenging question, which I will answer. This is something which I'm asked every time. What and how you manage people, how do you convince them and bring the people on the table to get to your what you believe in? And one thing I need to accept, the role at times is pretty thankless as a CFO, because you have many people. At one hand, you have the board, the ownership, who have their vision. Then you have internal stakeholders, and then you have an external stakeholders. Managing all these things is definitely a task, a challenge. Now, how do we do this? A couple of things. First, as I said, definitely have a listening mind, because you understand the business as a business CFO. So if there is a different perspective which is coming from the different people in your group or with the board, definitely hear them out. Because I have seen most of the time, before you say no to any of the suggestion coming from somewhere else, you should listen and convey that, yes, you have heard them. So even if there's a difference of view, what I do is I sincerely make all the attempts to understand the different views of the shareholders, the board members, and the other stakeholders. But that necessarily doesn't mean that I give up my thought process or what I believe in. But yes, if I've heard them, and if I believe that I need to change, I do change. That's one part of the actions I take when I deal with the various people, as you said, how to bring them together. That's one thing I do. The next is, once I've heard them, I still don't give up on my views. So then the second step which I do is to go back to my ownership, my board members, the other stakeholders, and give them with facts, figures, logic, and the business sense, which adds value in the business. Now, this is very, very critical, because a bookish CFO will probably tell you, look, the costs are increasing. But probably a business CFO will mention that, I think this cost, you need to do it, or you can do a value engineering at the cost of sales level. And he will probably suggest you many strategies. I did it. I did it in one of my organizations when we brought down significant cost, not by giving the profit and loss account, but by specifically hinting the various actions and convince the stakeholders. So this is what I am doing to convince the various stakeholders.
Yeah. That's very interesting. This bookish CFO compared to the business CFO is really what you're getting at, and that communication piece becomes so important, where they learn you're respecting them by listening, making sure that you're taking into their views. And I think that's a great lesson for anybody, and CFOs in particular, that listening part. The old adage, we have two ears and one mouth for a reason. We should be listening twice as much as we're talking. And I think that's kind of how you develop that relationship, and that gives you the power then to bring your ideas forward. So and I've kind of gone a little off script, but I think you've kind of taken me away from some of my other questions related to the business CFO. You've really kind of taken, of course, I was going to ask some questions about, is this for young people? Who else should? But clearly, it really is a direction that any finance leader should be kind of moving towards, is understanding that business, bringing their ideas across, and being able to work with the executive team and the board with their ideas, as well as the ideas from those others. So I think it's the concept, it makes tremendous sense, and I think it's definitely the way to go. And I particularly like this bookish versus business CFO that you're bringing up. That's a really good way to look at it. Thank you for that
Absolutely,
perspective. I
absolutely.
appreciate that on the business CFO. Do you have a couple minutes to talk about the challenges? So, it's 2020 now. We're starting a whole new decade. There's so much change happening. What do you see as the key challenges facing CFOs in general today?
Well, there are two broad areas of the challenges which the CFO I face. First is on the business, and second is within the group. I suspect the 2020 can still be a very tough year in terms of the liquidity. So yes, the cash flow management is going to be a stress for the CFO. And especially if someone like me who is handling so many businesses, I'm handling eight businesses at the moment under my head. It's really a challenge how to handle all businesses. Again, when I'm meeting those two initial objectives which I had initially mentioned. So it's really a challenge when you're handling diversified businesses, cash flow. That's the biggest challenge, I believe, for CFOs globally. The other part is, as I said, at times it's a pretty thankless job, because if you say something, you are being snubbed as if you are paranoid, as if you don't want growth. And if you're extravagant, well, then where are the controls? So it's a very delicate scenario which I face as a CFO, managing business, investment, money, growth, controls, and meeting the wishes of the board, and yet ensuring that I meet the two objectives, ensuring that the businesses succeed, and ensuring that I'm mitigating the business against the risk and the risk assessment. So these two challenges are there. But yes, and I don't see that changing in 2020. But I still find it too exciting, too challenging. Every day is a new beginning. But so long as you have the will, so long as you have the persistence, patience, passion to do it, you can do that. You can
That's
do it.
such an interesting perspective, that because there is this conflict, there's this, you're the stewards of the financials, you have these fiduciary responsibilities for the assets of the company, yet the value added part, so nobody considers that value added, that's protection. And it's only the CFOs of the and maybe
Yes.
the chairman of the board that recognizes that's really valuable, but people,
Yes.
the rest of the people don't see that. So they see where,
Yes.
well, how are you bringing more business? How are you creating, I need to make more sales, I need a better credit policy. And that balance between the commercial aspect and what we call the control aspect. And by the way, I'll give you an opinion right now on the word control. We have done ourselves such a disservice by naming internal controls as, wrapping something up, when actually what we're trying to create is better processes, right? So I think we've done ourselves a disservice as a profession by using this term internal controls,
True.
because it's got such a negative connotation. It's exactly what we should be doing, but but I've thought about this recently, that it's really internal processes. What we want is the right process. So good internal controls are nothing more than really good processes. And we've let this terminology get in there that we've kind of crept in that, well, I'm an internal control person. And that, anyway, I'll get off my soapbox on that. But I think you're right. This conflict between governance and internal controls and risk management versus being a business CFO, that's a huge conflict for people. And you have to, we have to play both roles. And I think that's a big challenge. So cash flow management, you know, can't lose with that one, right? That's such an important aspect for so many businesses. You know, very few businesses have the luxury of not worrying about their cash flow, and this whole delicate balance. I think that's really a good point, that you know, how we create that and manage that, and it never will change, I don't think. I mean, as long as the CFO has those responsibilities, which I don't see that changing, that's always going to be a balance that we're going to have to a tightrope that we're going to have to walk. But I think it's really important. Well, you know, I sure appreciate the time you've taken. You know, it's mid-evening over in your neck of the woods, and it's early morning here in my neck of the woods. Right. And between us, I think I got up and was awake enough to listen to, and you sure woke me up with a lot of your great wisdom. So I really appreciate that, Anand. How can people reach you?
Well, I'm available at all the professional platforms. I'm at LinkedIn, on my mobile, on my email. And one thing I want to share with you, because I always believe when someone has this sort of communication issues, one thing I've realized, and I'm so convinced, for you to be an effective professional, whether it's a CFO, CEO, or whatever, I think communication is the key in the current times. The fact that you have responded to someone, you may or may not accept what he's saying. You may or may not give a convincing response, but the fact that you have cared about someone and the fact that you have reacted, and I've observed many successful people in my career over the last 15 years, and I've found in all of them, very prompt, very quick in at least saying what they have to say. And that is the key point, which, as I said, if you have to be an effective business CFO, you need to have this too. So I'm put it simply, I'm available, except the sleeping time, probably all the time. Very quick response, WhatsApp, email, LinkedIn, yeah, that's it, and mobile.
Well, okay. Well, it's sure been a pleasure to listen and have you share kind of all your wisdom with us this morning in my time. And we'll share this with our network, and everyone can learn from you. This is CFO Talk. I'm Steve Rosevald, founder of CFO.University, and really want to thank Anand Soni for spending time with us today and sharing his views on the business CFO. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Steve, for your time. Appreciate it. And giving me an opportunity to share my practical experience with you. Thanks again.
You bet.
Thank you so much.